We invite our children, ages 3 through first grade, to go to children's worship. And I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses, or our text is going to be found in verses 7 through 14 of that chapter. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you will find Ephesians, chapter 5, on page 978. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to accept that Bible there in a pew. Excuse me. That Bible in the pew as a gift is what I meant to say. Don't take the pew home with you, but take the Bible home with you as a gift from Bethany Baptist Church this morning. In our study of the book of Ephesians, we are in the final major section of this book of the Bible, and it's a section that instructs us about practical holiness. Last Sunday in our sermon, we talked about how to be holy means to be different. To be holy means that we who are trusting Christ are now different from what we used to be, and thus we are to live differently from how we used to live. Jesus has changed us, and he is changing us, and our lives must show that change. To be holy means that we who are trusting Christ are now different from the world around us, and thus we are to live differently from the world. Jesus has set us apart, and he is sanctifying us, and our lives must show that difference. Of course, those two ways of speaking about holiness are connected, because the world, you see, used to define who we were and how we live. But now Christ Jesus defines who we are, and thus Christ Jesus must define how we live. We're talking about a whole new identity, and that's a whole new life. In his great high priestly prayer, recorded in John chapter 17, Jesus, as he prayed for his disciples on the night before he would die for our sin, for our unholiness, Jesus said to the Father, "I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." So Jesus gave himself for our sake. And as the Father sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus has sent us into the world. But we are not of the world, just as Jesus was not of the world. So this in the world but not of the world is our identity, and thus the way we live. And the way we live out, the way we live that out every day, daily in our lives, is by being sanctified in the truth, which is the Word of God. That's what's going to happen, I pray, this morning, as we read this text in Ephesians. And as Jesus speaks to us through the pen of the Apostle Paul, he instructs us and he trains us about practical holiness, about what it means to be in the world but not of the world. We are now children. We are now children of light. Light in the Lord. As we live in a dark world, we are to walk then as children of light. And we're going to be focusing on verses 7 through 14, but I want us to back up, and I want us to start reading at verse 1, because we're going to refer back to the preceding verses of our text. Verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Father, we pray that you would bless this reading and now the preaching of your word. God, we pray that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock, our strength, our fortress, our refuge, and our Redeemer. Speak, Father, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. As the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we have been given a commission by our Lord as we reside in this world. As the Father sent Jesus into the world to save us, so Jesus has sent us, whom he has saved, into the world to proclaim the good news of his life, death, and resurrection that has accomplished salvation for all who will believe. And that good news is God's power unto salvation, the power that saves and transforms sinners. And as we carry that commission out in the world, it must be clear that we, the message bearers, are different. If this separateness from the world is not clear, then we will not be bearing much fruit in our work and carrying out the commission our Lord has given us. After all, I mean, if there's no evidence in us that Jesus has and he really is changing us, then why would the world give an ear to the message that we proclaim? I mean, if our lives indicate that sin is really not that big of a deal, then the world would rightfully ask the question, why then do you speak of a Savior from sin? He must not be that great of a Savior. If we are in Christ and sent by Christ, then our lives must show the difference of being in the world, but not of the world. We should beware of the danger of thinking that we can reach the world by giving the appearance that you can be in Christ and be like the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul, the very man who wrote these words we read today, he wrote there these words. He said, "But I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some." Now certainly, we are to love all people, and we are to seek to overcome and break down cultural barriers, cultural preferences, and those types of things in order to engage people with the gospel, which is what Paul was addressing there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But a person can twist those words that Paul wrote and say that in order to reach people, it's okay for us to become so much like the world that there's no discernible difference. Succumb to that danger, and we will minimize what the Bible says about sin, righteousness, judgment, and thus salvation. We will forfeit and forsake the true gospel rather than proclaiming the true gospel. It's heartbreaking that many of them in our day have done that very thing. God, keep us from doing so. If we are in Christ and sent by Christ, then our lives are to show the difference of being in the world but not of the world. But what does that look like? You know, last Sunday we studied verses 3 through 6, the preceding verses here in chapter 5. And it prompted some really great discussion in our small group that met on Sunday night as we talked about what it means for believers to live separately from the world. And Brother Omer Miller told a story about some Amish churches that are located up in a Pennsylvania valley, and members of these various congregations were talking to one another about how they were living separately from the world. And members of one congregation said, well, our men wear only single suspenders and not double suspenders. That makes us separate. And then another congregation said, we have yellow tops that we have put on the buggies that we drive around. That makes us separate. And another congregation said, we drive buggies that have no windshields. That makes us separate. Well, no. Really, that makes you culturally odd and withdrawn from the world. Single suspenders and yellow buggy tops and no windshields does not show the difference that Jesus makes. That's not the stuff of practical holiness. That's not what it means to be in the world but not of the world. Paul tells us what it means to be in the world but not of the world in these words that he wrote to the Ephesian church who were living in a dark and pagan environment, very much like our own. So in verses 7 through 10, we find this instruction for practical holiness. Children of light must live as such. This is God's instruction to us for practical holiness. Children of light must live as such. Now, in the Bible, darkness speaks of spiritual ignorance of God and moral rebellion against God. Darkness is a symbol of Satan's influence and power. Darkness is the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, living according to the passions of the flesh. Paul wrote about all of that in chapter 2 of this letter. In the preceding verses of this chapter, verses 3 through 6, darkness is the sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness and filthy speech. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That is darkness. In the Bible, light speaks of the truth of God and the moral goodness of God's commands. So light is fundamentally the opposite of darkness. Light is associated with life. Darkness is associated with death. Light speaks of God's holiness. Darkness speaks of our depravity. And the only way we can be brought into God's holiness, the only way we can be brought into light, the only way we can be brought into life is by faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The only way we can be brought into light is by faith in Jesus. Now, Paul is writing to the church here. He's writing to those who had put their faith in Jesus. And Paul reminds us of the radical change, the radical transformation that has been made in us by Jesus. In verse 7, Paul says, therefore, do not become partners with them. The them being that which he described in the preceding verses. Those who practice these things of sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness that must not even be named among saints. The filthy speech that is out of place among those whose faith is in Jesus. The people who deceive with empty words, saying that the wrath of God will not come upon those who practice such things after all. Do not become partners with them, Paul said. And he gives the reason why in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The reason is that there's been a radical transformation in those who are in Christ that is nothing short of new birth. We were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Now, the Bible here doesn't say that we once were in darkness, not here. It's not just that we were once in darkness. That is true, and we can point to several scriptural passages that say so. Without Christ, we were blind. We could not see. We were in darkness. We live in a part of the country where there's a lot of caves, right? And you can go and you can take tours in some of these caves. Perhaps you have done so. If you have, you know that oftentimes during the tour guide will have brought the group down to one of the deepest parts of the cave. And the tour guide will forewarn the group what he or she is about to do, and they'll turn the lights off. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what it's like to be in pitch black darkness. I mean, you can hold your hand right in front of your face, and you cannot see it. Total darkness. And that is what we were in spiritually without Christ. We could not see the glory or the majesty or the beauty of God. We could not see God's holiness, and thus we could not see our own sinfulness. But here Paul does not say at one time we were in darkness, although that is true. Here he says at one time we were darkness. Darkness was our experience, because darkness was our identity. It's not just that we could not see God's glory. We did not want to see God's glory. We were living in willful ignorance and willful rebellion. Either we disbelieved that God existed altogether, or if we did believe in God, we figured that we could pass the muster and be good enough for him to let us into his heaven. After all, he owes us that much. We saw no need for a Savior because we had a disregard for God's holiness, for God's justice. We lived according to the passions and the pleasures of this world with a disregard for death, judgment, or eternity. We were in willful ignorance and willful rebellion. We were darkness. But when we heard the good news of Jesus and believed, all of that changed. We saw our own sinfulness. Because we saw God's glory in the love that he has shown us as Jesus died on a cross as the sin-bearing, wrath-bearing substitute in our place. We saw that Jesus and his cross is solely sufficient to make us right with God and to deliver us to heaven. We saw the glory of God in Jesus, and we long for God's glory to be manifested in our lives more and more. We long to know more about God, more about God's will, and that's why we're diligent and obedient students of the Bible. We hate the darkness we once were, and now we want to live in such a way to please the God who has saved us, to be holy as he is holy. It's not only that we now live in the light, although that certainly is true, and we could point to several passages in Scripture that say so, but here it says that we now are light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world," has now saved us and sent us out saying, "You are the light of the world." Radical change, radical transformation. At one time we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. That's God's saving work in us who are in Christ. And that's the reason for the command. Do not become partners with them. The them being those who remain darkness. Now hear this carefully. The Bible certainly does not say do not love them, or do not reach out to them, or do not show them kindness, or do not seek to win them from darkness to light. That's what somebody did for us. ultimately, he who is the light of the world, he is the one who has loved us and who has reached out to us and who has showed us kindness and who has won us and saved us and then sent us out saying, you are the light of the world. Go and do likewise. It's not that we are to cut off loving and merciful contact with the dark world in which we live. It is that we are not to become partners with them. Our lives are to be different from those who live around us because we are now light in the Lord. We must walk as children of light. It's the command. That's the primary command in our text. At the end of verse 8, walk as children of light. The word walk refers to the manner in which we live. So once again, here the Bible tells us what it means to live in practical holiness. It means to live as who we are in Christ. Live as the light you are. Walk as children of light. Now there are characteristics given in verse 9 that the lives of children of light are to display. And these characteristics are characteristics of God. That's why I wanted us to start back in verse 1, because here Paul is simply expounding on the command that he wrote back in verse 1 when he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So in verse 9, the Bible says that the fruit of light is found in all that is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So if we are imitating God, then we will be good. It's a fruit of light. Now, as God's children, this means that we live in such a way that we seek the well-being of others before our own. To be good means that we sacrificially serve so that others reap benefit, spiritual benefit and benefit in other ways. To be good means to say, I'm going to lay down my preferences. I'm going to lay down my rights. I'm going to lay down myself in order to see you flourish. Your flourishing is my aim. And that's what it means to be good. Goodness is a characteristic of God. Goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit we find in Galatians. And as we are walking in dependence and in surrender upon the Holy Spirit who's come to live within us, and this fruit will be displayed more and more, this goodness. Oh, to be good all the time. The fruit of light, the verse says, is found in all that is right. Now, to be right or righteous means to live in ever-increasing conformity to God's will, God's commands, God's design. Paul wrote to the Romans that those of us who are in Christ are to present ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So the fruit of light is not unconcerned about rebellion against God's will, God's commands, God's design. The fruit of light rejoices in God's will, God's command, God's design. All that is right. And the verse says the fruit of light is found in all that is true. The darkness is marked by lies and deception and hypocrisy. The light is marked by integrity. Living the truth, speaking the truth in love. As children of light, we are to speak with honesty, always. And there ought not be a time in which we would be tempted to even put a mask on at all, to pretend to be something else. Not if we're walking as children of light. We are to live the truth and speak the truth. And verse 10 sums up what it means to walk as children of light. The Bible says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the fundamental difference between darkness and light. those who are now light in the Lord, because of what the Lord has done for us and in us, we want to live in such a way as to please him. That's the fundamental difference. Jesus has opened our blind eyes. Jesus has delivered us from the wrath of God that we deserve. Jesus has given us new life. We want to please Jesus. That's the fundamental difference. Now, an unbeliever can live well in many ways. I mean, he can be generous. He can be kind to people most of the time. He can be true to his wife. He can be a man of his word. But the motivations for all of that do not flow from a grateful and humble heart toward a holy and gracious God. Only children of light can live to please the Savior, because only children of light know the Savior. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our evaluation of every life choice ought to be this: does it please Jesus? And we can discern what pleases Jesus not by our own independent opinions, not by our feelings that fluctuate all over the place, and not by the opinions or feelings of others in the world. We discern what pleases the Lord by the renewal of our minds. We discern what is good and pleasing and acceptable by the renewing of our minds. Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 12. And our minds are renewed by the truth of Holy Scripture. Jesus said so in John chapter 17 when he prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And that's why everything that we do as a local church must be grounded in and shaped by the Bible. Everything that we do as individual believers must be grounded in and shaped by the Bible. We need to have our minds being renewed by truth. That's how we're going to be able to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And we'll be able to test that. We'll be able to try that. We'll be able to prove that in our experience that what is pleasing to the Lord is good and right and true. See, we want to become, this is what we want to become. We want to become walking around Bibles for everyone to see. This is a life of practical holiness. Being in the world but not of the world. Children of light must live as such. Now, as we are who are light in the Lord are walking as children of light, there are two results. And in our time that we have left, we're going to consider these two results and especially how they are connected with and concern the commission that our Lord has given us in the world. And so here's the first result in verses 11 through 13. Walking as children of light exposes the works of darkness. Walking as children of light exposes the works of darkness. Paul has already written back in verse 7, "Do not become partners with them." And now he repeats the same command when he says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." So our lives are to be different, separate from the darkness, since we are no longer darkness, but now we are light in the Lord, children of light. And there's a result of this separateness that we see in the rest of the command. The rest of the command, he says, "But instead expose them," the unfruitful works of darkness, "expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." So the unfruitful works of darkness are shameful in themselves for sure, but even speaking of them, even talking about them is shameful. Have you ever noticed how some people seem to delight in talking about the latest sexual scandal or the latest moral collapse? I mean, there's a whole genre of journalism that's focused on that. But as children of light, we should find no such delight. We should find it all repulsive. Instead, by our actions and by our words, we should expose the unfruitful works of darkness as the ugly and disgraceful rebellion that they are. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed." It's the same word, by the way, that we find here in verse 11, exposed. Jesus went on to say, but whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. As children of light, that's what is to characterize our lives. Our lives should serve to expose the unfruitful works of darkness and to display, or by displaying, the beauty of God-produced light. This is what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. This passage in Ephesians serves really as an excellent commentary on what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." If we are in Christ, it means that we are light in the Lord by God's awesome saving grace. And Jesus didn't light us up just for us to cover the light with a basket by taking part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Jesus lit us up so we'll shine bright and expose those unfruitful works of darkness. Paul writes in verse 13, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." Our lives are to be light in this world's darkness, showing the ugliness of sin by displaying the contrast of practical holiness, the piercing power of light in the Lord. Now, sometimes the response from the world to the children of light is going to be that of disdain. Jesus said so. He says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light." I remember when I was a teenager, there were three older houses in the town adjacent to our town that had been condemned, and they were going to be torn down. And my dad asked for permission to tear those houses down because he wanted to salvage some of the lumber from the houses. And of course, he commandeered my assistance in tearing the houses down. And so one evening after supper, after my dad had gotten off work, it was already dark, we went over to those three houses to scope them out and to start to make plans for tearing the houses down. And I was in one of those houses. I had a flashlight in my hand, and walking through, there was a closed bedroom door. And I opened the bedroom door, and when I shined the light in, the floor was moving. I mean, the floor was covered with what looked like hundreds of those big, ugly cockroaches. And when I illuminated the room with my light, when I shined my light in, you know what the roaches did? That's exactly. They scattered. They were scurrying everywhere. They were trying to get away from that light. It was obvious that they hated the light. But sometimes, church family, and maybe often, that is going to be the world's response. As those who are light in the Lord walk as children of light. A response of disdain. But not always. Not always. Let's look at verse 14. Let's see another result of walking as children of light. Walking as children of light always points to Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, the first part of verse 14, I have to tell you, is a little bit difficult to interpret. And that's why some translations, perhaps if you're reading a different translation, yours might read something like this: "For it is light that makes everything visible." Or yours might say, "Whatever manifests makes something visible is light," something of that nature. So if Paul is meaning that, if that's what Paul is saying, he's just reinforcing the truth that as we walk as children of light, it exposes the unfruitful works of the darkness. But the ESV that we're reading today, and other translations as well, translate the verse this way: "For anything that becomes visible is light." So Paul may be speaking here of the transforming power of light. One paraphrase says it this way: "It's even possible for a light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also." So the light we shine in the world is going to sometimes repel, yes, but sometimes it's going to attract. and transformed. Some people will want to know, why? Why are you different? And some people are going to wind up giving glory to God for the good works that they see in us. Jesus said so. Do we believe him? I drive a dark truck, dark colored truck. And so in the wintertime, when it snows and they put salt on the roads, the road grime and the filth shows up really well on my truck. Now, for a few days, I don't worry about it because everybody else has cars that are filthy too. You know, I'm just riding amongst them with a filthy car. But inevitably, I will drive up to a stoplight, look over, and next to me will be a car that has gone through the car wash. And the contrast is clear. I mean, it's evident that there's a big difference between that vehicle and my vehicle. So what do I want to do? Well, I want to take my truck through the car wash because it's filthy. As we walk as children of light, our lives should shine just like that. And some people are going to see the difference, and they're going to want to say, what's different about you? And they're going to want to come to Jesus for cleansing too. The last part of verse 14 is a quote. It's a quote of what was likely an early Christian hymn, a hymn in the early church. And it was a hymn, looks like it was drawn out of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, where in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, the Bible says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So Paul quotes an early Christian hymn that issues a clear call to Christ for salvation, and that's the call that our walk as children of light is to issue loud and clear. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. Our lives are to be different from, but not detached from, the world. Separate, but not in isolation. Our walk as children of light is to expose the unfruitful works of the darkness, not by saying, look at us, aren't we something? But by saying, look to Christ. Because we once were darkness. We once were willful ignorance and willful rebellion. But now, by God's grace, we are light in the Lord. And it's only by God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And Jesus will do the same thing for you. You awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Church family, this is the life of practical holiness. This is what it means to be in the world but not of the world. We are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are we doing so? Are we walking as children of light? It's the fruit of the light and all that is good and right and true is on really good display in our lives. Because if it's not, the antidote for that ugly poison of the unfruitful works of darkness is the same for the believer as it is for the unbeliever. Whether it's an unbeliever who is spiritually dead in his sin, or whether it's a believer who is sleepwalking in stupor of sin, living as though he is dead, the call is the same. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Father God, we thank you for the pure power of your gospel, that the gospel of Jesus is able to take those who are darkness and make us light in the Lord. And as we read this text, as we study this text this morning, we readily acknowledge our total dependence upon you and your grace to bring about this walk in our lives, to keep us in the a walk. And we readily acknowledge also that your word calls us to strive with all the strength you provide so that that is displayed well, that Jesus is displayed well in our lives. And that's what we ask for you to accomplish in us. God, that we as a church would display in this world the difference Jesus makes, that the unfruitful works of darkness would be exposed, and that people would not run from the light, but would run to the light, who is Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.